Let us return to work. Okay, everyone, thank you. We'll continue. We're going to take the first two items on the regular agenda, and then we're going to take item 1451 and the one we pulled from the consent calendar. So would you please read 1435 and S-1436?
1435, provide affordable housing through an inclusionary housing program, and S-1436, provide affordable housing through an inclusionary housing program and update the multiple unit limited tax exemption program.
These are second readings and final votes. Any comments before we vote? I know people will have comments when we do. Okay, a roll call please on 1435.
Novick.
First of all, I would like to thank Commissioner Saltzman and Martha Pellegrino and Tina Kotek in particular for their hard work getting the state preemption lifted on inclusionary housing, because if that had not happened, we would not be able to act today. I'm extremely pleased that the city does have this new tool to address the issue of housing affordability. I really appreciate Shannon Callahan's work, Commissioner Saltzman's office, Director Krieger's work, his staff's work in bringing this to a conclusion. These are tough choices. We don't want to err in either direction, because if we don't provide enough incentives or expect more than is the market will bear in terms of the development of inclusionary housing, we run the risk of reducing overall housing production. And we need more housing production in order to have supply and demand work in our favor and have housing costs reduced, or at least the increases stemmed, across the spectrum. But if we demand too little or provide more incentives than are needed, then we run the risk of not being able to take full advantage of the hot housing market we're in now, which is when it's ideal to demand more and expect more. So I really appreciate the thoughtful comments of people in all walks of housing life throughout this process. I particularly want to extend my appreciation to Dr. Lisa Bates for taking me through the extensive deliberations that the expert committee had and explaining that at each step along the line, the committee used conservative assumptions about housing costs in order to come up with the ultimate recommendation. So I do trust that the council will continue to monitor the inclusionary housing rules and calibrate them as seems appropriate given how the market responds. But it is a great honor to be part of this council as we approve this program, and I really hope that it will bear fruit beyond our wildest imaginings. Aye.
Ritz.
Commissioner Novick just said exactly what I wanted to say. I'll just add thank you to the community groups, the Welcome Home Coalition, the Community Alliance of Talents, Portland Tenants United, and everybody who's been working for this for so many years. I'm thinking of Commissioner Gretchen Kefouri right now. Aye.
Ish.
This is going to be the last or second to last housing issue we take up this year. Dan, you've had a remarkable year, so I want to echo what my colleagues are saying first, and thank you for your leadership. And thanks to the Housing Bureau and the staff and everyone who worked on this. I'm proud to serve on a council that has prioritized investments in affordable housing and addressing the housing crisis in our community. Martha Pellegrino was mentioned. We've had two farewell parties. I hope we have a few more. Because they're fun, but we have a great team at the Office of Government Relations, and they serve us well. I'm very appreciative of all the citizens who took time to come and testify and advocate, and those in particular who spent the last several sessions working to lift the preemption, because the groundwork was laid many years ago when we fell short, but we built the momentum. I think the thing that we need to be very clear about today is that this is a new tool in our toolkit, but it does not solve the problem. It's just another tool. And combined with all the other actions that we've taken, we hope to make a difference. But inclusionary housing, if you look at the record around the country, in and of itself does not solve the housing crisis. But it does do something very important, which is it gives us a mechanism for ensuring that affordable homes are dispersed in high-opportunity areas throughout our community. And Dan, you've said this, and others have said it, and I just want to reiterate it. I hope that the fee in lieu provision is used sparingly, because the genius of this is building affordable homes for the long term, for 99 years, in high opportunity areas. And to put that in plain English, when my family looks to see what neighborhood we want to live in, we look at houses, we look at commercial districts, we look at transportation, we look at schools. Most low-income families don't have the opportunity to do that because they are priced out. So when we build affordable homes in high-quality, high-opportunity areas, we're welcoming everybody into our community, and that is vitally important. I'm pleased that we have linked the change in parking minimums to IZ, and I hope, Dan, that becomes a tool, an additional bartering chip to get more deeply affordable. I'm pleased that we're doing affordable homes at 80% of median family income, but the crushing need in our community is 60% below. And so we've got to be as creative as we can to buy down to get the deeply affordable units. And then I just want to say one other thing, because my chief of staff, Sonia Schmansky, a lot of calls from housing advocates saying, where's Nick on this? We're worried that Nick is going south on inclusionary housing. And I think that there is a tendency, particularly maybe now because of the anxiety caused at the very top of our government in Washington all the way down, that when we have hearings and we ask questions and we engage people and we say, how do we make something better, and we ask the tough questions, that we're somehow being unfaithful to the cause. And I hope we don't get into that rut of mistaking questions designed to get answers and improve things with being unfaithful to underlying values and principles. I have heard from a lot of people who are much smarter than I am about development that we may have this slightly out of whack. I don't know whether that's true or not, but the one thing I'm not prepared to do is to extend the clock and let another 10,000 apartments get entitled before we get it right. And already, because of the February effective date, we're going to see the biggest bull run in multifamily development get in under the gun, under our deadline, meaning they're not going to be covered by this. And Dan, I will support next year a request from the general fund to add additional staff people if necessary to make sure that with all those entitled units, we have someone at the Bureau of Development Services negotiating voluntary inclusionary housing deals with those developers, because otherwise we're missing a historic opportunity. Asking tough questions does not mean you're not a supporter. It means you're a real supporter, because we're trying to get this right. And I want this to work. So my final comment is, if in 6 months or a year we start seeing that development on the east side is 19 units or fewer, or we see in other places other indicators this isn't working, then I will join with my colleagues in bringing it back and asking tough questions about how do we make sure it works. Because if this doesn't work, then we have missed an opportunity. So back to just the thank yous. Thanks to everybody. Thank you, Kurt, and especially thanks to Dan Saltzman. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is the culmination of this vote today, and I want to thank my colleagues for their support. It's really the culmination of a pretty incredible year on the inclusionary housing front, starting with the legislature's repeal of the ban in February, a miracle in of itself in a 35-day short session to tackle something that's been around for at least, I believe, 10 or 15 years. And then to take that repeal and be the first city in the state of Oregon to really come forward with the program to implement inclusionary housing. I'm very proud of, again, my colleagues in the city for doing this. And as well we should be. We should be doing this, you know, as soon as we can, and we are doing it as soon as we possibly can. Because the decline in affordability in our city for working families and all families has been swift and dramatic, and has had a real human toll. Working parents are taking multiple bus routes, spending hours to get to their jobs. Kids are not able to complete the year, the school year, in the school they started in September. And families are scared that they may have to look for new housing on short notice. With this vote today, we are taking a critical step forward assuring more affordable housing for Portlanders now and for future generations. Affordable housing will now be included in market rate developments throughout our city. And I believe that Portland will be better for the inclusive community we are creating through this policy. A policy this far-reaching does not come without many, many internal and external community partners, and the remainder of my speech is going to be to recognize all the people that have really helped get us to where we are today. And I want to start out by recognizing some of the outstanding advocates that have been with us from the legislative session up until today. Opal Environmental Justice, Vivian Satterfield in particular, has done yeoman's work in organizing people to not only show up for last week's hearing, but to show up in Salem. And she was there herself for a lot of the hard work that led us to where we are today. I also wanted to, and she served on our panel of experts as well. Amanda Saul, Enterprise Community Development, also a panel member. Maggie Talmadge of the Coalition of Community of Color, and also a member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, served on the panel of experts as well. I want to recognize them for their outstanding work. And I'd like to note that at the forefront of our partners helping us with this policy is the private development community itself. Members of the development community provided input and advice throughout the development of this policy. And while we might not agree with all aspects of the policy, and they may not agree with all aspects of the policy we're about to adopt, I truly believe that we all want this policy to work and to achieve more affordable housing options. And you can't do that without the development community. So I'd specifically like to thank all of the panel members, the ones I previously called out, but I also want to recognize Dyke Dame and Sarah Zahn, who served on the panel of experts, Greg Goodman as well, and Sarah and Dyke also serve on the Portland Housing Advisory Council. And I also want to recognize the development group Locus for the careful work and analysis they provided us in this policy. Our former governmental relations manager, Martha Pellegrino, who was absolutely instrumental in getting the city and other local governments giving us this ability to adopt inclusionary housing policies through her excellent lobbying in Salem, for her recruiting Senator Michael Dembrough, the sponsor of the bill who ensured its passage. And then I also want to recognize the entire team at the Planning and Sustainability Bureau, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, who prioritized this issue on an already full plate of comp plan work. Just specifically, Susan Anderson, Joe Zender, and Tyler Bump. I want to recognize Lauren King of the City Attorney's Office, who's worked on this issue as it was pending in the legislature at the bill stage and through the writing of the final policy before us today, the code. The team at the Bureau of Development Services, especially Matt Wickstrom and Robert Walker, who made sure the policy would be streamlined to work with the development process. And to Mayor Charlie Hales, who has always recognized the needs of Portlanders for safe and affordable housing and sponsored the zoning code portion of this program. And then certainly, last but not least, the team at the Portland Housing Bureau. Director Krieger, who from the moment he was in the interview process for this position, about a year and a half ago, I believe, believed we should adopt an inclusive housing program. And he comes from jurisdictions where it's been done in the past, and it really helps to have somebody who's been places where it's done. It really helps undercut a lot of the arguments about the world's going to fail or the world's going to end by adopting this policy. So I want to thank Director Krieger, Dory Van Bockel, who also worked on the code program. A big thanks to Matthew Schabold, the Equity and Policy Manager at the Portland Housing Bureau, who worked hard to recognize and organize all the internal partners to the table, crunch numbers, burn the midnight oil to bring this policy forward. And last but certainly not least, to Shannon Callahan and Brendan Finn of my office. Shannon, my senior housing policy advisor, worked countless hours to make this work. From the moment it got signed into law by Governor Brown, and even before that, she worked tirelessly with the Housing Bureau, with all the other players, the Planning Sustainability, Bureau of Planning Sustainability, to really make sure we could do this today and be at this point of taking this vote with this council this year. As Commissioner Fish noted, we can't wait. We have many, many units already grandfathered into the process. So the sooner we get this policy on the books, voting today, and implementation February 1st, the sooner we're going to get more mixed-use neighborhoods and more affordable housing for everybody in the city. So again, thanks to Shannon for all of her hard work on this, and also to Brendan Finn, my chief of staff. Please to vote aye.
Neil?
Well, I want to second all those thank yous and bravos for great work in both the community and the city. And I want to just add the same for my colleagues here. A year and a quarter ago, we declared a state of housing emergency, and we said there were some things we needed to get going on right away. And one was just this, going to the legislature and getting that approval for our ability to do our job here and create an inclusionary housing strategy. We've done a lot of other things, too, and I'm proud of that work. This is really important work, and it's making a difference. And as has been said, this may need to be tuned. It may not be working perfectly in the marketplace, but the council will have the opportunity to do that tuning, just as we've had to do with other public policies and requirements. But this is a case of doing the right thing, trying really hard to do it the right way, and focusing on the here and now. It's going to make a difference. It's going to make us a better city and a more just one. Thank you, Dan, for your leadership. This is a good piece of work in a day and a month in which we're bringing a lot of good things to a successful conclusion. Aye. Okay, let's vote on